really need the Lord's help today. Ask for your prayers. I'm thankful for the privilege we have to look into the Word of the Lord, that it is light and life unto us. And I pray that it would be a blessing and a challenge to us this morning. The burden that the Lord has given me is part of the basics. If we want to be successful in our walk with the Lord, this will be an element of being successful. If we want to be able to make it through to the end, this that I've written on the board, spiritual maintenance, is going to have to be an element of that. I'd like to begin with an observation that we read about in the 24th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs 24 and beginning in the 30th verse. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Now do you think when he walked by this man's house, do you think it had on the mailbox, using modern vernacular, you think it said, Mr. Slothful? You think that was when they addressed something, take this down to Mr. Slothful? Well, what was it that identified him as a slothful man? I went by the field and I observed the field and I observed the wall and I observed the things that were growing up, and it bore evidence to the fact that this man is slothful. Now, especially at this time, whenever husbandry was part of your life, part of your livelihood, it wasn't much tolerated if a man wasn't willing to get up out of bed and go take care of his garden and his fields. And for a man to do that, a slothful man was a curse. Many times the wise man cried against slothfulness, against laziness. Do you know we also have to look out for spiritual laziness? Again, I believe these are some of the basics for us. But I'm interested in us being successful. I'm interested in us being able to, when the world comes walking by, that they don't look and shake their head at the slothful man. I want them to be able to see something better than that produced out of your and my life. But it's going to require something on our part. We don't work our way into salvation. We don't work our way into heaven. You know, we have a responsibility. The Lord makes us the husbandman. He makes us the keeper of our vineyard. How well are we keeping our vineyard? Think about the scripture that says, that good thing that was committed unto thee. Have you gotten a hold of a good thing? If you've gotten a hold of Jesus, you've gotten a hold of a good thing. If the Lord has saved you, you've gotten a hold of a good thing. If the Lord has given you a testimony, you've gotten a hold of a good thing. And the exhortation was, keep it. That good thing that was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost that liveth in you. Thank the Lord, we don't have to do it alone. But we also can't sit back on the couch and say, now Holy Ghost, you go do your work while I eat, drink, and be merry. We're going to have a diligent hand, a determination to love the Lord with all our heart. And we're going to have to be determined. I mean to go on. I mean to keep this. I mean to preserve this. It's valuable to me. It's more valuable than anything that I have. If somebody has, I don't know, a piece of furniture maybe that was passed down from their great-great-grandmother. Maybe it was brought over from the country that they came from, and it has a story behind it. Very sentimental and very meaningful. Do you think they're going to just go put it on the back porch? Do you think they'll put it out as a lawn ornament? No, it's preserved, it's cared for. It's put in safekeeping, out of the elements, and protected. We have something so much more valuable than a piece of furniture. Our souls are in our hands. And I want to keep that was committed into my keeping, into my care, into my charge, because I don't want it to be defiled. I don't want it to be spoiled or to be lost. So he says, I went by the field of a man who was slothful. And I saw the effects of it. The proverbs that we're given are for instruction. Oh, young man, hearken unto my words. Let wisdom teach you. Learn from the things that you observe in life. That you don't have to just go through life blindsided. Well, how did this happen? How did I get into this state of affairs? We're to take instruction by the things that we see around us in life. So it says that I looked at this. I saw this man's state of affairs. And I received instruction for myself. Folks, that's where it is, isn't it? This is about my soul. I have, as a pastor, a responsibility to an extent for yours, that I care for your soul in the manner that God has called me unto. But when it comes to standing before God, you're going to stand before God for yourself. And I'm going to stand before Him for myself and give an account of the things that were done, the things that was delivered unto me that I am to keep. Think about what it says. The scripture says, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Why was that? Lest at any time, it might be today, but it might be 10 years down the road or further, I let them slip. The idea behind that is not so much that it was a by force taken away. I let it over time slip out of my fingers, slip out of my grasp, lest at any time I let those things that were delivered unto me personally, and we as the church of God, the Lord has delivered something unto His bride that is special and is precious. And the enemy of our soul wants to defile it. He wants to spoil it. We have a responsibility to watch, to be diligent, that I not allow my life, my soul, that we not allow our gathering together to go the way of the slothful. I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, and it taught him. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Notice what it repeats 3 times there. A little. Just a little. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You know, this property was in very poor condition. But it wasn't in very poor condition because a tornado came through and wiped it out. It wasn't in poor condition because a fire ravaged it. It was in poor condition because of a little bit. A little bit of negligence. A little bit of carelessness. Waking up one day and saying, You know, I noticed that the wall has developed some cracks in it, but I've got other things I want to do today. You know, I know the garden needs to be weeded, but I just don't feel like it today. I know there's some things that need to be tended to, but oh, I'm tired. I think I'm just going to sleep in today. You know, it's rainy outside today. I don't want to. Well, there's a lion in the streets out today. Solomon used that analogy as well. A little bit, and a little bit, and a little bit. And before you know it, the end result over the passage of time is the ruin of his property. The field, the vineyard were means of his livelihood. The wall, no doubt, intended to be the means of his protection. And you know, our spiritual livelihood and our spiritual protection or fortification can be lost by this same means. By a little bit. By a little bit of carelessness. By establishing a pattern of spiritual laziness, of not tending unto the needs of my soul. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Lord, help us to be able to see more than just today. Lord, help me to be able to see forward on the course that I'm on. The path that I've set myself to. You see, this man could probably get by with not taking care of the weeds this very moment. You know, procrastination is the enemy of success. Because tomorrow there's likely to be something else as well. Are we tending to the needs of our soul? Nature itself teaches us, for those that are interested, there is a law, part of the second law of thermodynamics, called entropy. And it states, and nature states by observation, that things tend towards decay. Things tend towards disorder over time. If you go and you plant a garden, if you don't tend unto it, it's going to tend towards decay. It's going to tend towards the weeds growing up. And if you build a structure and you don't protect it properly, if you don't maintain it, it's going to tend towards ruin, towards decay, towards a worse state over time. That's just the natural course of things if you let it go. If you buy a car or if you buy a house and you don't maintain it, what's going to happen? It will begin to deteriorate. It will begin to lessen in value and in quality. So with our souls. If you own a car or if you own a house, you'll know what I mean by the importance of maintenance. Yes. By the requirement of maintenance. You know, maintenance is not many times one of those things that we necessarily want to do. Doesn't seem real value added. It's frustrating sometimes. I got a message the other day. Honey, one of the toilets isn't working. And the handle, a little lever inside, had broken off. Well, it wasn't a big fix. But you know what would have happened if I wouldn't have taken care of it? So I took care of it. So that it can be in proper functioning working order. I took care of it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that everything around the house is taken care of at the moment. But it requires our attention to those things in a natural sense. You ever bought a new car, whether new off the lot or new to you? And if you're anything like me, you remember the carefulness that you had with that car or that house right at the first. Make sure it's clean, and maybe it won't even eat in the vehicle because I don't want to mess it up. What tends to happen over the course of time? Well, I tend to start eating in the vehicle. Maybe I drop a French fry in between the seats and forget to get it out later. And over time, those things begin to build up. You know what else will happen with a new car? Oh, it runs so well. It shifts so well. It drives so smoothly at first. You know, those things require maintenance. Maintenance isn't necessarily something that I see the value. It doesn't look like it's making something better than what it was. Maintenance is keeping it what it was. I've taken my car into the shop before and they'll say, "Well, Mr. Doolittle, you should really have the transmission flushed, and you really ought to get a coolant flush, and you really ought to have us check this and have us check that, and while we're at it, we'll go ahead and do this and go ahead and do that." And I say, "Well, how much will that be?" "Whatever the amount." "Well, that'll come to $1,300. I think I'll have my oil changed, please." "Will it still drive out of here?" That's not a good approach to take. But it seems like, well, I can get by a little bit longer. But you know, there's something to be said for somebody that maintains their vehicle. The manufacturer puts recommendations for a reason. Sure, they like to get the revenue. But they know, you know what, a transmission's not going to last forever. Those moving components aren't going to last forever. That oil's not going to last forever. So based on how long we expect it to last, you really ought to change your timing belt. "Well, it seems to still be working to me." But guess what happens whenever you're driving in the night far away from a shop, much less one that's open, and all of a sudden the steering wheel goes stiff, the engine stops, and the lights come on the dash. Oh, what I wouldn't give now to have maintained the car before this happened. There are different kinds of maintenance. One is a breakdown maintenance. That when I have no other choice, I'm stranded by the side of the road. Oh, now I'm going to have to maintain this thing. I'm going to have to deal with this problem now. And you let some of these problems go on long enough that it breaks. And it can cause other problems. Now the problem is much bigger than if I would have just taken care of it early on. You know, there is preventive maintenance that we can invest in our lives, in our relationships, in our walk with the Lord. Jesus told Peter, "Watch and pray." You know what part of the problem was at that moment? Peter didn't feel the need to watch and pray. He said, "Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with you all the way to death. Though all men forsake you, I won't forsake you. I'm ready for this." Peter, all the scripture says, "Take heed. He that thinketh he standeth, lest he fall." Let's not live our lives. Let's not order our steps spiritually in such a way that I deal with things only when they break down. Only when I'm stranded by the side of the road. Only when things have blown up into such a big problem that it can no longer be ignored. Oh Lord, help me to look ahead. Help me to invest in my soul. Peter, watch and pray. The song says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. At the times that I feel the need of it, and at the times when I feel like everything's going pretty well. Take time to be holy. Speak often with the Lord. Peter, watch and pray. Now's the time to do that. Peter, now when you're feeling so strong, get down on your knees, Peter, and pray. And be watchful that you enter not into temptation. You see, there are things that we can do to maintain our walk with the Lord. Things we can do to maintain our strength in the Lord. You get discouraged sometimes. You get kind of weak sometimes. I dare say we all do. And I need to maintain my strength. I need to maintain my love for the Lord. There are things that I need to do to invest in. To maintain that. To maintain is to hold, to preserve, or to keep in a particular state or condition. Not to suffer to fail or decline. The Lord doesn't want our path to be one of decline. Where I start out strong with the Lord, but then things just kind of begin to coast from there. I'm going to have to put into it. I'm going to have to invest in it. Or the result will be decline. I'll begin to slow down. Let's look while we're here in Proverbs at the 10th chapter. Proverbs 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. I'm not interested this morning in the prosperity of our bank account, but in the prosperity of our souls. Oh, would that you be in good health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Oh, I want to see us prosper in the Lord. I love to hear saints' testimonies. The Lord, we heard it this morning. The Lord, He revealed, He opened up to me this scripture, and He blessed me with this song. I love to hear the testimonies of someone say, you know, I got into trouble the other day, or I got into sickness, or was suffering, and I needed the Lord. And I called upon the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He answered my prayer. Thank the Lord. The pastor is supposed to be available. You call anytime. But you know, the Lord also wants us to maintain a walk with Him, and that I can call upon the Lord. And it's not just staying static. The Lord wants us to grow in grace. And that's another message. To grow what the Lord has given me. Not to just take my one little talent and go hide it in the earth somewhere. I shared the story a while back of the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Buried a time capsule. I don't remember the year, but it was maybe somewhere around 1957. And in that time capsule, they put a brand new car. I don't remember, maybe an Oldsmobile. Brand new car in this time capsule, and a can of gasoline and a few different things, a map to the city and these things in the glove box of the car. And they sealed it and put it in the ground, and they said, 50 years from now, we'll open up this and look at this new car. Anticipation was building as that year approached. If it was 57 and 20, 2007, or maybe it was 67. 50 years later, they began planning and preparing and a grand ceremony for the unearthing of this time capsule. Everybody wanting to see. Oh, can you imagine a brand new car from 50 years ago? Still just as shiny as the day it came off the lot. They raised it as people were watching in anticipation. They unsealed it. Water began to leak out. When they looked in, they were horrified to see a chassis and rusted out body panels. Almost nothing left. What happened? It developed some leaks over time. Folks, we can't just take our soul and just bury it, or our talents, as Scripture said, and just expect it to prosper. There's some maintenance that we have to do. There's some upkeep of our soul. And I can't grow in the Lord unless I keep first what He's given me. A slack hand will result in spiritual poverty. Spiritual laziness will lead to spiritual poverty and leanness. But a diligent hand, it'll make rich. Rich in the things of the Lord. The Scripture says in Proverbs 4 and 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep your heart, guard it, preserve it, maintain it with all diligence. Because out of that crop the issues of life. I'd like to look at Revelation, the second chapter. Revelation chapter 2, the letter written unto the church of Ephesus. The church at Ephesus, you read about in the book of Acts. There were a group of pagans that got a hold of the Lord. The Lord got a hold of them, and He changed them, and they weren't pagans anymore. It was a city of worship to the goddess Diana. It was a city where there was much sorcery and witchcraft or idol worship, rather. And whenever people began to get saved, there was revival that swept across that city. And they took their books and their things that were dedicated to the worship of the goddess Diana, and they brought those things. You can read about, they brought them out into a common or a public place, and they burned them all. So ardent was their zeal and their determination and their love for the Lord. I'm putting this way behind me. I'm not holding to this any longer. I love the Lord, and I want to live for the Lord, and I want to be His. And it made such a disruption in that city, in a good way, that all of the goldsmiths and the folks that made the idols and all of that became angry because they were losing their business. And they conspired against the Christians. So I want to just set that little backdrop of the church of Ephesus. And now let's read a number of years later what the Lord is saying to the church at Ephesus. There were commendations that He gave them, but He said in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Oh, Ephesus, what happened? What happened? You were so fervent at one time. You were on fire for the Lord at one time. What happened? You've left your first love. You've abandoned it. You've lost it. Oh, how attentive are we to the needs of our soul? How attentive are we? How diligent are we in our love for the Lord? Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 12, "Because the love of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." That waxing process is not an immediate overnight process. To wax cold is to become, to gradually over time,
become more and more lukewarm and cold, and to assume the temperature of the surroundings around you. In this cold world we live in, we're going to have to invest, we're going to have to put into, or we'll begin to lose temperature, lose love for the Lord. So how do we maintain? We already referred to what Jesus told Peter, watch and pray. You don't have to go that way, Peter. You don't have to lose your soul. You don't have to lose what the Lord has given you. Watch and pray. Think about Malachi 3 and 16. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was opened. There's another scripture in Hebrews 10 and 25. These things given to us as counsel to maintain our souls. Hebrews 10 and 24. Let's start in 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I get a picture in my mind reading that of a campfire, and maybe the fire starting to die down a little bit. What do? You go and you stir it up and you poke at the coals and you maybe turn the log over a little bit and blow on it some, and the fire begins to rekindle. You know, we are to provoke one another unto good works, to encourage one another. Brother, be of good courage. Let me share this scripture with you that was a blessing to my soul. Maybe call and check or send a text message or however I have opportunity. I want to be an encouragement. Provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, as you see the signs of the times, and realize the danger to my own soul. Lord, it's so important for me to maintain my love for you. Lord, I don't want to let your word slip from me in this evil time. Lord, help me. How attentive am I being to the needs of my soul? Folks, we meet together not just to do it out of habit or because it's what's expected of us, but I want to come to get nourishment to my soul. I want to come and be challenged. I don't want to just come and be patted on the back or, Lord, come and stir me up. Paul said, I believe, in these words, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I want to stir you up. I want to challenge you. Oh, Lord, challenge me. Lord, stir me up. There are times that I feel myself beginning to settle. Lord, stir me up again. And so much the more. Oh, and I'm not proposing or saying this is required. But if in the 1920s they needed to meet three times a week, maybe we need to meet five times a week. You understand what my sentiment is in that? So much the more is the importance. Oh, Lord, I want to tend to the needs of my soul. And not just mine, but I want to be a help to my brother and to my sister. We're all in this same battle together. When I think about maintaining our soul, I want to look at a scripture in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Ephesians 4 and 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Be aware of the path that can lead to sin. Realize that there are things that I can face. There are feelings that I can feel. There are maybe thoughts that can come to my mind, that the thought itself is not sin. The feeling itself is not sin. But be careful. You better guard your heart. Recognize those things that are starting to come in. And the scripture says here, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun go. Take care of it quickly. I believe that's so important for us in these things that we're talking about. Remember the field of the slothful. He let the little things go. He didn't tend to the little things. Things are easier to deal with when they're little than when they're big. Let us take the little foxes. If you can take them, and I don't want to be too graphic or seem cruel, but you take a cute little fox pup, kill it when it's small, because once it's big, it's going to do damage. There are things in our lives, in our thought processes, in our hearts, that if we can recognize, oh, Lord, there's a little attitude cropping up there. There's a little indifference cropping up there. Lord, I'm feeling a little bit of scornfulness here towards this individual. Lord, a little resentment. I'm feeling a little bit of bitterness about this situation. Lord, help me to take care of it quickly. To make this a practice in my life that I don't let the sun go down on that thing. That I feel the urgency of taking care of this thing. So I go back to the question, how attentive are we? Am I to the needs of my soul? We sang the song this morning, ask my brother and sister, is there a want in your bosom? Ask the Father. Ask the bountiful giver. You know, some people, I was in a meeting with the Springfield city manager this last week, and he was talking about some of the properties you drive by and some of the buildings are dilapidated and fallen in, and how they as a city are trying to address some of these things and get people to care about their properties. And he said, some people, it's that way because they say, I don't have the money to fix it up. I don't have the money to invest. I don't have the means to remodel the house or make it look better. And how they're trying to address some of those things. But you know, we don't have that excuse with the Lord. Ask the bountiful giver. Do any of you lack wisdom? Do we have a need in our soul? We don't have to wait until that need grows into something so big that I can't ignore it anymore. I've had times in my car that I hear a noise. I remember hearing a rattling sound one time in the exhaust, and I knew as a manifold it was going to be something that would require some extensive repair and money and time, and I put it off and it would rattle and rattle. I'd go over bumps and it'd rattle. I'd take off and it'd rattle. Go around a corner and it'd rattle, over an intersection and it'd rattle. And finally I took it into the muffler shop and said, could you look at this thing and tell me what it's going to take? And he looked up underneath and came back minutes later and said, you had something loose that was caught up in there and it was causing the rattle, and it's fixed and you're good to go. You don't owe me a thing. And I thought, all that time, I kept driving. And I kept going. You know, we can do that with needs of our soul. To just kind of put it out of my mind and put it out of my mind and think, oh, there it is again. Oh, you know, I need to take care of that. And then it rattles again. Oh, I need to take care of that. Be not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer. Let's come to the bountiful giver. You know, there can be a stigma even on this altar bench. You know, it doesn't take an altar bench. Wherever you meet the Lord. But when the Lord talks to our heart, it doesn't have to be sin. And it's incumbent upon the rest of us. If somebody comes down to this for prayer, don't assume that they've backslidden. Don't assume that it's sin. I want to talk to the Lord. The Lord's touched my heart somewhere. And I want to say, Lord, I don't want to wait maybe until this thing gets out of hand. Lord, I'm hearing a little bit of a rattle. There's a squeak here. There's something, Lord, that's the matter inside of here. Lord, would you fix it for me? Oh, the Lord is ready. If we'll recognize it, He is a willing partner. That good thing keep by the Holy Ghost within us. But I got to do something too. I've got to ask. I've got to come to the Lord. I've got to recognize and say, Lord, I've got a need. Lord, I got something that needs to be taken care of. And I don't want to go through life the next 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, still running into this same problem, this same need. Week after week, and the Lord sends a message in His faithfulness and it touches it. And I go to camp meeting maybe and the Lord touches it. And then next year He has to touch it again. And then He has to touch it again. Thank the Lord for His faithfulness. But I want to encourage us and pray the Lord would impress upon us this morning the importance of spiritual maintenance. Let's take care of things before they get big. Let's take care of the needs of our soul before they go on. Let's close in Titus, the third chapter. Titus 3, verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Why would you have to affirm it constantly? Scripture talks about the foolishness of preaching. Many times, oh, it's something I've heard before. I've heard that all my life. But the Lord wants to affirm these things to us, to stir up our pure minds by remembrance, to remind us that I've got a responsibility to maintain good works. That's not talking about just putting money in the offering or going by and doing alms or helping the widows. There's a place that the Lord requires those things of us. But maintaining what I'm investing in the other world, maintaining what I'm setting my treasure in heaven for. How much have I been investing in that? How much have I been tending to those needs of my heart? Sometimes there are work days that we say, you know what, there's some things that have been building up over time. This thing that's happened, and this thing is loose now, and this thing needs painted, and this, it's time to just come together and let's take care of these things. You know, whenever the Lord talks to us, maybe there's some things that have kind of been building up over time. And I say, Lord, maybe I should have dealt with it yesterday. But the second best time is to deal with it today. Lord, I want to take care of those things. I want to tend to that. And that's the way that we keep our field from turning into the field of the slothful. That's the way we keep our spiritual house from being one of those that they drive by and the shutters are hanging and the blinds, you can tell they're torn inside and the paint's peeling and the grass is 2 feet tall. I want people to be able to see something better than that. To see something attractive of the way of God reflected through my life. And it's going to come through spiritual maintenance. You pray for me. Amen.